Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to the Paula Price Show, where you can experience revelatory teaching, get answers to your questions, and receive powerful prayer. Tune in now and get ready for an exciting time of encouragement and transformation. Welcome your host, Dr. Paula Price.
Well, once again, welcome to the Paula Price Show, Dr. Price. How are you on this frigid, frigid day in Tulsa?
Frigid is the word for it. And we've been frigid a few days, Ashley. I'm doing great. I'm glad that it's Thursday. I'm looking forward to what we're going to do today, what we're going to talk about on the Paula Price Show. But can I just tell you, the Lord is God in this hour. We're having a blessed time despite how cold it is. And they tell me, Ashley, if I'm not mistaken, you know, you're my weather girl, but I'm supposed to get some snow.
Yes, we have some light flurries happening in the area, and from what I can tell, it's not going to accumulate too much.
Okay, but I just wanted to make sure that we were all on the same page, because, you know, baby is scared. I'm scared of snow right now, the way we've been getting it. You all been out of it, though, because, you know, I'm a chicken. I don't go into it unless I have to.
I know, but that's okay because we like taking your toys. But it's, yeah, well, Sunday, they said, oh, you know, we're just going to get a little bit of something, and we got several inches in a very short amount of time, and it was right when everybody was either going to church or already in church. So many people came out from their sanctuaries in shock because when they went in, there was not a flake flying around, and when they came out, there was 3 inches of snow.
I know it. And did it happen quick enough or what? I was surprised. But in any event, we can't even complain because we don't get a lot of bad weather anyway, you know?
No.
And so I just think that we can't complain. You know? We can't.
Okay.
Y'all know. You don't. I know because you hate that. You know, Ashley, you're from Pennsylvania. I don't know what your issue is.
Hey, and I'm driving it here.
Well, anyway, we have a great show planned. And you, I guess I got a few callers on, but, you know, Ashley, I want to talk a little bit about something that is important, that, you know, that is so important to us today in this whole season. So what I'm going to do is I'll do my admonishment, and then we're going to have our trusty friend, Prophet Adia, remember?
He is ready to go.
Yes, and she's going to tell us all of those kinds of things, but and then we're going to take our do some announcements and take our callers. I want to start off by saying let's remind everybody, actually remind everybody where I'm going to be in just about a week.
Whew, Dr. Price is going to be, oh, my goodness, let's think about this, though, Dr. Price. She's going to be in Joliet, Illinois. Praise God. She will be there teaching on talent leadership. It is at Antioch. I will have all of the details for you in just a few short shakes of a minute, but Dr. Price will be up there in the freezing cold, and we'll be up there with her. But she's going to be teaching on leadership training and development, talent leadership. You have to show up to find out what the acronym TALENT actually means. It's very cool. I love this. And so we invite everybody who's in the area to blaze their way and to get this teaching and training. It's one of a kind. Of course, I think it's safe to say, Dr. Price, anything you produce is on that one of a kind level. and you do not disappoint when it comes to leadership training and development. I highly recommend, I would say I insist that if you are in the area and you can take the time off of work, make it happen to get this training. If you are in ministry, if you are in business, Dr. Price's teachings have helped people get through law school, go through med school, become official, all kinds of things. So this is not just limited to church experience and church exposure. It is to anybody in leadership or who is transitioning into leadership or who just thinks they want to be a leader. It's nice to be able to get the information and training ahead of time before, so you can decide, oh, you know what, this isn't for me at all, or yes, this is exactly where I belong. So she will be up there doing her talent training series. I can't wait.
I'm looking forward to it. It is a powerful program. You know, I've been teaching it off and on, and we've taught it in other countries as well. Naturally, Ashley, we're not going to be able to break the seal on it, you know, the way we would if we had a whole lot of time. but we're going to certainly give a great part of the work. And you have to check in to see what the talent acronym actually means, because that acronym is very important. Now, again, I want to say, if you have leaders, if you have how about people in leadership training? Or if you are in a position where you as a church or a ministry are feeling the tug of God to shift to another way, then you need to train your people. One of the things that I have found, and we've gotten calls actually on the Paula Price Show all the time, about people say, well, you know, my pastor or whatever put me in leadership, sent me, told me to go, dispatched me, anointed me, laid hands, and there I was. And I'm thinking, we need to do just a little bit better, you know, just a little bit better in terms of getting people ready. And part of it has to do with us believing that God does all the work and that it's magical. You know what I mean? We think it's magical. So we believe that because we're like, well, if you've got the anointing, you can do it. Whoever says that? Who says, well, if you can hold a note, we're going to put you in a concert? Nobody does that. We're like, it's nice you can hold a note, but can you hold the notes I want, sing the songs I want, reach an audience, bring a popular, something like that. And so one of the things that I have known is that we'll do that, or we'll tell people, go read a few leadership books and let them walk away with whatever impression they get from those books and tell them, you're ready. Well, you know, the Talents Program does that work for you. And so it's going to be an online course in a couple of months, but until then, it's going to be an amazing time for us there in Joliet where we break the seal on leadership from the mind of God. That's what talents does. It breaks the seal on kingdom leadership from God's mind. We've heard so much teaching from culture and trends and all of those kinds of things that we forget that this thing started in God, and that before God had leaders on earth, he had leaders in heaven. And before he ordained leaders on earth, he had an entire leadership squad, team, and training that was working for him and had been working for him in heaven for a long time. And so I want to, frankly, I want to marry those two dimensions so that we can begin to yield God's fruit in our efforts. And so that's one of the things we do. Now, there are many good ones out there. This is not to say that there aren't any, but this is unique because we come at it from a different angle. Wouldn't you say, Ashley?
Oh, I would definitely agree. And I've been through several levels of your leadership training and development, and your ability to connect, like you were saying, those Bible principles and God's righteousness with actually acting out leadership, not compromising it, not making it less, not religifying it, making it so religious that we're not functional in the position. It's very well-rounded, very insightful, and very incisive.
And that it is. And so, and this is a certificate program, so those who want to go the distance and say, you know what, I'm going to use this as part of my certificate of leadership program, I think that you'll appreciate it. So anyway, I'm excited. I'm looking forward to it. Now, Ashley, I'm going to cover a point. You know, I don't often cover things this in depth on the show, because really, you know, I want to be there for the people of God. But there are times a matter is so pressing on the Lord, he wants to address it. The last couple of weeks, those matters of salvation and the new birth and Christianity and what distinguishes it, were very hot, pressing on God. So he pressed me hard to address it. Today, I want to address the issue of false prophecy and how to understand a false prophet. Now, I feel that I can honestly say that I've exhausted this subject on many, many fronts, from the very first book that I wrote entitled Constructing the Contemporary Prophet, which I wrote in the early 90s. It ended up being a large manual. People are still asking us for it. And we deal with the prophetic. And in there, there's a whole chapter devoted to false prophets and false prophecy. An abbreviated version of that chapter was also included in my handbook. However, the most extensive information that I could gather, and I do gather it, I am not a prophet or a writer who sits down and says, gee, that's really great. I'm going to pull a little bit from this guy and a little bit from this woman and a little bit from that. But I don't do that. I meticulously study every subject I write on. I cull all sources available for my subject matter. I don't assume anything that is right or wrong until I've checked it out. I do not sling revelations out there and tell you hope it works. I know that a revelation is not revelatory until it's researched, because sometimes what we call a revelation is somebody's idea, somebody's skewed idea of that. And so I know how to differentiate an idea, a piece of information, an unknown fact from an actual revelation. That's important. And as if you're in the prophetic, you've got to do that. You know, I have several courses where we spend hours differentiating a revelation from all other pieces of information that are floating around. So I want to say that. I laid that as a foundation. Having done the Prophet's Dictionary, which is really coming, it's all around the world. It's in three languages. It's become a standard for development. And if it's not, and between what it's been with my present publisher and what it was before I got my present publisher, we've hit over 100,000 copies. I think that what I'm about to say is worth listening to. One of the things that I cover in my writings is how to know not what bothers us, but what bothers God, because it's God who has to bless us. It's God who has to confirm us. It's God who has to live with what we create and what we devastate. God has to work it all out. And so I do a lot about what was in his mind. What was God thinking when he said, I'm going to have prophets? What was he thinking when he said, you know, this is what we need. We need prophets in this world. We need somebody to speak for us. What was on his mind? And why did he need prophets in the first place? Well, I'm going to go on record to tell you the number one reason God needs prophets is because of falsehood. If there was only one kind of voice speaking in his word, or one being with the authority to speak out of his realm, he wouldn't need a prophet. He needs prophets because of his competitors, because of his adversaries, because of his rivals, and because of his opposers. You know, I want you to remember that. God needs prophets because he has competitors. There are people who are competing for the souls that he created. God needs prophets because he has rivals, people who want to be him and want to be him in other people's lives, and spirits that want to be him in other people's lives. God has adversaries, people who want folk to go the adverse, the different direction from God Almighty, from how God created them. And God has opposers, people who stand against, who take a contrary position to what he had in mind when he said, let there be. So you don't ever have to study the prophetic if you're not interested in finding out who God's opposers are and what they look like. God has counterfeits and he has imposters. Those are two strategies that facilitate those other things I just discussed. So remember that, because, see, we think prophecy is some sort of parlotry or some sort of church service interlude. You know, we're going to have a brief interlude, and so we'll just throw a word out and say it's God. That is not what God had in mind. God had in mind an institution and some instruments that would counteract and counterbalance his original word, his archetypical and prototypical word in creation. If God did not have an opposite, if he did not have an opposer, he wouldn't need a prophet. He'd speak for himself. Because the darkness in us would not need to have an intermediary. And prophets are intermediaries. They stand between a God and his subjects. That's what we need to get clear. Now, I laid that out because we as a church don't get that. We don't get that God has other people or other beings that he gave voice, free will to, and some authority and assignments to, delegated assignments to, who want to bump him off his throne, who want to bump him out of your life, who want to divert people from his glory. So when we talk about prophets and we say, oh, this man was a deep prophet and she was a deep prophet, we don't know what someone is talking about. Because are we talking about you calling them deep because they appeal to you, or are you calling them deep because they got in there and they went at it for the Lord Jesus Christ? Now, according to the word of God, it says in Revelation 19 that the testimony, everybody who's listening to me, You are listening because we are symbiotic. We are at least compatible, or at least we have an affinity for what one another is looking for and reaching for in Jesus Christ. So I want you to write this. The Bible says in Revelation that Jesus Christ, the testimony. See, a lot of times we say Jesus Christ, but the testimony of Jesus Christ. Don't forget that front word there. Those two words, the testimony. That's three, actually. Testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus Christ. Now, because we only preach one branch of the gospel, we think that that means that if we're talking about salvation, saving souls, and getting folks to heaven, and who going to hell, that's what he's talking about. No. The entire testimony of Jesus Christ is the fuel, the engine, the data, the DNA, the coding, the cipher of prophecy. So if you don't know the testimony of Jesus Christ, then you don't know God's prophecy. Now, I didn't say we didn't have false prophets. Prophets go all the way back to Abel. We all know that. So but there are a lot of false prophets. And so we need to recognize what makes for a false prophet, because we think that a false prophecy is one that fails. That's not true. That is not true. Because a lot of true prophets, those words fail because they're spoken out of season, they've been spoken out of time, they've been spoken for someone else. In other words, that word wasn't given to them, or they've been spoken to the wrong person. So there's a host of discernment that has to be cultivated for you to be a faithful, credible, and consistently accurate prophet. Doesn't happen just because you stand up there and say, I heard and I said. See and say prophets will always have an on-again, off-again relationship with the truth and with a relationship with accuracy. That's just how it is. Because you see it, you don't filter it, you don't check it, you don't test it, you just say it. Because it's so sensational to think that God is saying something or that you're picking up something from God. You realize that a lot of times we have to know whether we are discerning God's thoughts, sentiments, or feelings and interpreting them our way, or if God is actually saying by his word, you know, the word of the Lord actually came to us. That's a whole other thing. But I want to read a couple of passages to you because I think this bears speaking to. And so the first one is coming out of Ezekiel 14, which is one of my favorite books of the Bible, Ezekiel. Now, if you're going to study this, make sure you study Ezekiel 13 first, because it's extraordinarily important. And so Ezekiel 14, 1 says, then came certain of the elders of Israel unto me and sat before me. And the word of the Lord came unto me saying, see, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, I didn't discern, I didn't sense, I didn't feel it out, you know, the word of the Lord came unto me saying, son of man, these men have set up their idols in their heart and put the stumbling block of their iniquity before their face. Should I be inquired of at all by them? Therefore, speak unto them and say unto them, thus says the Lord God, every man of the house of Israel that setteth up his idols in his heart and putteth the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face and cometh to the prophet, I, the Lord, will answer him that cometh according to the multitude of his, that I may take the house of Israel in their own heart, because they are all estranged from me through their idols. Now, that's a powerful statement, but I want to read on. Therefore, say unto the house of Israel, thus saith the Lord God, repent and turn yourselves from your idols, and turn away your faces from all your abominations. For every one of the house of Israel or of the stranger that sojourneth in Israel, which separated himself from me and setteth up his idols in his heart and put the stumbling block of his iniquity before his face, and comes to a prophet to inquire of them concerning me, I, the Lord, will answer him by myself. And I will set my face against that man and will make him a sign and a proverb, and I will cut him off from the midst of my people, and ye shall know that I am the Lord. And if the prophet be deceived when he has spoken a thing, I, the Lord, have deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people. Now, I want you to think about that, because, see, we've had some recent events that really speak to this. Just because a prophet says something and it happens does not mean it was God's good pleasure. God doesn't just speak all the happy days of his life. God has an entire institution, and he has a host of people speaking for him on a myriad of subjects and subject matter. Now, God is saying to you, because you're my people, he's saying, now, when somebody comes and they ask me a question of something that they already have in their heart they want to do, and then they have already put up a barrier, that means they have a barrier, obstacle, that's not a plan. They already plan to do it, and I already have it worked out, but let me just see if I can cover this thing with God's approval, or at least I want to look like I'm caring about what God says. But they already plan to do it. So God says, if a person doesn't, he said, I am going to answer that person. I'm going to answer that person according to what the real reason they came. So I don't care what their mouth says. I'm going to answer them according to what they want to do, have already resolved to do in their heart. So that prophet is going to pick that up. Now, this prophet is going to answer them, why? What prophet? The prophets that have already proven that they will go into a person's heart and dig out what the person wants and not go into God's book on that life and dig out what God wants. So error begets error. So, you know, you realize that God has dealt with prophets a long time. So when you hear these people say, oh, she was just a wonderful prophet, he was such a great prophet, when you hear that, you need to make sure that they were a prophet of the Lord and for the Lord's good or for his judgment. Because not every prophet of judgment speaks a word of doom in the name of the Lord. Sometimes they just tell you what God feels on a matter. And so I've had people tell me, this is a great word. I went to a prophet. He confirmed it. Seven prophets confirmed what I said, and you're the only one that's saying it's wrong. I might be in good company. Consider Micaiah in the book of 1 Kings 13. 400 prophets told Ahab, go to war. Only one said, but you're going to die. Now, we don't want to know that because a charismatic church is looking for charisma, and charisma and spiritual candy in many of people's minds go together. So we've got this charismatic prophecy, which is actually spiritual candy that we feed people because people are going to keep coming back for candy more than they're going to come back for vitamins. So here's what God is saying. Don't act like, but he's talking to Ezekiel, and he's saying, I am going to answer this person according to the idols. Now, God's not going to lie. He's just not going to get caught in the trap of blessing what somebody is contemplating doing against his righteousness. God said, I'm going to give you the desires of your heart. And this what you want? You're going to have it. How about it? And a prophet is going to tell you, yeah, go at it. God had 400 prophets tell Ahab, go to war. When he asked in heaven, who am I going to use? He said, listen, they have a meeting. You know, in heaven, they have meetings. Put them in heaven, they have a meeting. And in this meeting, God said, who is going to stand up and deceive Ahab that I could take him out? Now, so here we are. We're looking at it. And so let's say a prophet comes in and prophesies, you know, all of this stuff. It's going to be hard for you, and it's going to look bad, and it's going to look good. But in the end, God's going to bless you because you're going to go, and you're going to get big in the world, and the church won't like you, and you'll leave the church, and that's all right because the world will love you. Who in the world would give somebody a prophecy like that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ when the man said the gates of hell will not prevail against my church? Who could do that but a false prophet? Just because they see the method doesn't mean that they're blessing the outcome for God's glory. And so here we go. We're looking at this. Now, I want to share this with you because we are coming into a time where God is getting ready to do a major push with prophets, and some of you need to know who's who. And it's not that the word doesn't come to pass, because God didn't say that. He said, as a matter of fact, God's going to let the word come to pass because that's going to be a cudgel for him. All right? And he said, and I'm going to deal with that prophet because that's who he used. At the time, he was using prophets only to govern his kingdom. They were his spiritual intermediaries along with the priests. But the prophets were the communication and the priests were the administration. So that was the two definitions there. So I wanted to say this to you, but I want to go to another passage because I got another one. Now, you know, we're talking about false prophecy. Now, I just told you about false prophets over there from Ezekiel, but let's go back to the foundation of God's kingdom, God's government. Because foundationally, God's government is to be explored in the five books of Moses, you know? And when we get to, once we get to Exodus and Numbers and Leviticus and Deuteronomy, we're now dealing with God's first nation. This is his nation. It's his first nation. It's the first one he's laying claim to. It's the first nation to get his law, to get his government. So now God is stepping into the planet, stepping into this earth realm, and he's getting ready to theocratically legislate his own nation. That's what this is really all about. Deuteronomy 13, and God is talking about, you know, the prophet in the dream of dreams. Deuteronomy 13:1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams and giveth thee a sign or a wonder, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof, he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. Thou shalt not hearken to the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams, for the Lord your God proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. You shall walk after the Lord your God and fear him and keep his commandments and obey his voice, and ye shall serve him and cleave to him. And that prophet or that dreamer of dreams shall be put to death because he has spoken to turn you away from the Lord your God, which brought you out of the land of Egypt and redeemed you out of the house of bondage to toss thee out of the way, which the Lord thy God commanded thee to walk. So shalt thou put evil away from the midst of thee. Now, God never said that this prophet was wrong. Matter of fact, he said it comes to pass. Why? Because we focus on the first sentence. It says, and the sign or the wonder come to pass, whereof he spake. But we don't read the rest of it. The sign and the wonder come to pass, but this prophet is telling you, I am going to hijack you, abduct you from your founding God. It said, and go other gods which thou hast not known, and let us serve them. A false prophet is going to tell you it's okay to leave God. A false prophet is going to tell you it's okay to soften his lines, to relax his righteousness. God's okay with that. A false prophet is always going to make it easy as possible for you to get the maximum from God from the minimum input. A false prophet is always going to tell you to bring God down and to inject him in a pantheon of God. He's one of many gods. God is God of God. And so this one says to you very clearly, if that prophet's words take you away from God, you got a problem. Because God is never going to send you away from him. Now, granted, God is everywhere present at once. So, you know, he's got a kingdom, he's got a church, he's got everything, all right? But every time you speak as a prophet of the Lord God of hosts, he told you how to speak. Stay with God. Verse 4, you shall walk after the Lord your God, okay? You will fear him. When people make you bold enough to not fear God, you need to be concerned. And keep his commandments. That's the first thing. Keep his commandments and obey his voice, and you shall serve him and cling to him. So just because a prophet gets big, come on, we got a whole world of false institutions that are huge. That's not a good standard. You can't use that as a standard. That doesn't work. Just because a prophet has a great following, just because a prophet's words came to pass, it is not whether the word comes to pass only that we must inspect. We must inspect the tenor and the nature and the subjects of that word. And then we must examine it, scrutinize it for its outcomes. Will the ultimate effect pull you away from the Lord Jesus Christ? Will it tell you it's okay to commit adultery? It's okay to covet your neighbor's wife? It's okay to lie, to cheat, to steal, to bear false witness? Now, he said keep his commandments. That's what he's talking about. Now, you say, well, oh, wow, that's Old Testament. First of all, I don't know Old New Testament. I just know that God has the testament for natural Israel, and then he's got the covenant for eternal Israel. And the natural covenant was pulled out of the eternal one. We act like the Old Testament was the foundation, was created, and then we got the new, which was meant to mitigate the Old Testament. Nope. Mm-mm. God always said, I don't need you sleeping around with your neighbor's wife or your neighbor's husband. He's always said that. There is no way that he's going to tell you that Jesus come there talking about that. The woman at the well, you have six husbands. And the one you're with, not your husband. So So God has always had them. That's Jesus, because Jesus is the same. Jesus is Yahweh from the old, and he's Yeshua, or he's Jesus Christ in the new. So here he said, Jesus always said you shouldn't lie, bear false witness. Why? Those are cultural devastators. You want to destroy a culture, then you go and legitimize all of that, and you're going to end up with a culture in demise. It has never failed in history. It will never fail. So you're not going to get a prophet that's going to tell you, well, it's okay for you to do this, and it's okay for you to do that in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they represent Jesus. Now, here's my last statement on this, because I think this is so important. It's so important. Because as you're starting to venerate this person and venerate that person, a lot of you are asking God, what is the problem? God, it feels wrong, but I can't say what's wrong. It doesn't feel right. It doesn't bear witness. It doesn't seem right. You realize that, you know, even when you talk about, I like how the world says, you know, they talk about prostitution being a victimless crime. Well, who is not the victim? All right, if the woman decides she wants to be a prostitute, that's her choice. If the guy decides he wants to sleep with her, that's his choice. But there's if he's married, there's a woman at home who didn't have any say-so in the matter. There are kids at home who didn't have any say-so in the matter. There are family people, businesses, and people who are believing in that man's integrity who have no say-so in the matter. So the two participants may or may not be victimless, but all of the people attached to their life are unwitting victims of that. Now, that's how serious this thing gets in God. That's how serious it gets. We can talk around and say, well, we don't call it adultery any longer. We call it an affair or moral failure. That's all fine and good. God still calls it adultery because for some reason it has something to do with adults falling. That's why adultery is in there. And so we can say that, but you're talking about that is the injection that begins the demise of a family. That somebody's faith in you broken. Somebody's trust in you is broken. Somebody is being deceived and they're being conned. They believe they're number one and they're number none. See, that's where God is. So God is talking about the stability and the security of his country, of a community. He's not talking about, wow, it sure is not right that God will hold us from this. He don't know what it's like for us to do this or that. That's not what he's dealing with. God is dealing with, and I'm telling you, he's dealing with his people surviving and his best, his riches being released in a country, in a nation. Now, let me say this as I wrap it up, because this is a whole long involved thing. But I wanted to let you know, those of you who are prophetic and those of you who are inspectors of prophetics and prophecy, I wanted you to realize that there are in Scripture specific criteria that lets us know what we can embrace and what we should shun as prophecy. And in the end, it comes down to what God is the prophet speaking for, and how do we know that? By learning the character of the deities that are out there, or those things claiming godhood. Now, I did that in the dictionary for you. In the dictionary, I covered a lot of that, where I say, now listen, this is how this is going to sound, and this is going to come across this way, and this is going to come across that way. But beyond me, every prophet should know the prophets and the prophetic writings of God. You should know the Bible in general, but it amazes me how many prophets don't know what the prophet said. Now, God said a lot of things, but he captured the essence of his mind and his temperament and his thoughts on human matters in the prophets that he celebrates in Scripture. God has a lot to say about false prophets, but he's got more to say about truth, because he used true prophets to expose them. So you can watch, I mean, I've watched them. Somebody said, oh, this guy's this is a great word. This woman, I mean, she can, no. I'm listening to the words. Don't get caught up in the sentiments. Don't get caught up in the theatrics. And understand, just because they're false doesn't mean that they are without an anointing. Even false prophets, everything has an anointing, because humanity has no spiritual endowment that will supersede the fall of Adam. We have to get something from outside of this world to come alongside us, to empower us to conquer all of the opposition, seen and unseen, exists to resist our success. That's why you need an anointing, so that you can have a power greater than yours, with the authority and the license above yours, to resist there is seen and unseen opposition that wants to prevent your success. See, we think anointing is just let us do something and help us do it. No, 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 because a lot of people are anointed and go nowhere. When God starts changing your guard and he starts changing those angels, he starts changing those spiritual forces because he knows he's taking you in a place where they're powerful. He's got to send you powers that are greater than the powers you're going to meet in your next place, in your ride. And don't think that that's only for us. Understand that Jesus Christ could not get on the cross until he had his last supper. Hear this. This is good. His last supper with the 12 apostles and Satan. After he got baptized, he had to meet Satan. And he had to defeat him in the wilderness. Last supper. And the Gospel of John, they're sitting around the table, and Satan steps into Judas. And Jesus says to him, what you do, do quickly. Jesus would never have gotten on a cross had there not been a Judas Iscariot. He'd still be running around now. We wouldn't be here, but he'd be here. That's how powerful this thing is. We have got to know more than churchology and churchianity. We've been so locked in from churchology and churchianity, we have not tapped into the kingdom of God and that eternal kingdom, that innumerable company of angels that predate us, the spirits of just men that predate us, the angels on high, the New Jerusalem, the heavenly hosts of God. Those all predate us, and they have been working this thing out for a long time. And so when God wrote what he called a prophet, he was not writing it as if he didn't have a clue. God wrote what he heard. False prophecy did not begin on earth. I want you to hear me, because we think it did. It did not. False prophecy began in God's world and made its way to the earth. Now, how about that, Ashley? I'm done. I have my piece. I've said my piece.
Yeah, you said some things. Oh, my. Okay. I'm finishing my notes. All right. I went to class. I heard the title, took out some notes. That's I know that's a very timely word there, training, admonishment, revelatory, whatever, because of how it's like you hear some of these prophecies out there where they are prophesying. This is going to happen to you, but then they slap on the end. You're going to be persecuted, but it's just because the people of God don't understand it. It's that kind of thing of you're not going to find this in Scripture, but God is doing it anyway kind of mentality. And it's so dangerous. I like how you said that a false prophecy will come to pass. And I like how you talked about a false prophet is going to tell you it's okay to leave God. That's a powerful statement all by itself. Because some of these words flying out are just loaded with implications that you're going to leave God, it's going to be okay, you're going, or it'll usually be sandwiched in, you're going to leave the church.
Mm-hmm.
You're going to leave the church, but it's going to be okay. And meanwhile, but the whole message changes. We're not talking about you're shifting positions here from God's going to put you in a workforce or he's going to put you in this arena to still represent him. It's a whole other thing, and how you get the maximum from God by giving the minimum input. I mean, it as a prophet myself, it really causes you to check yourself many times because people's emotions are pulling on you. Their sentiments are out there. If you're in an arena where people have been praying a lot about something that God is not going to do, but you will feel the pressure to prophesy it anyway, there's a lot of maneuvering and skill that you have to have in those arenas. And this kind of information right here really does give prophets the heads up.
Yeah, and that is if they want it, you know, because you're right. Here's the thing that I want to say. Anytime a prophet has to vilify the church that Jesus Christ shed his blood for, anytime somebody wants to vilify the church at large, criminalize it, condemn it, kill it, whatever, that's a false messenger. I don't care whether it's a prophecy, a sermon, I don't care. When you hear these people talking about, I'm tired of the church, I'm sick of the church is getting ready to die, that is a lie. That man said before there was a church, he said, and upon this rock I build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. Now, we may have local congregations that come and go. We could have that. But the church of the Lord Jesus Christ will prevail as long as there's a Holy Ghost in the planet, because God just keeps having children, keeps having children. So I like that you brought that up. When you start hearing people vilify the church, condemn the church, listen, try to assassinate it, trying to, we're going to get rid of it. Are you kidding me? The church is so good. The church is so deeply entrenched. All these other false religions created churches. That ought to tell you this thing is real. That's the one thing that I will say all day long. When people tell me that, I'm telling you, I get so upset. I say, how are you? That's like you being part of the family and telling everybody, my whole house is getting burned down. My house is garbage. My father's a bitch. I hate this. I want, and your grown person is not, your own house. Your house. You're going to kill it. You don't do that. We do that. And when you look at Hebrews 12, and it tells you that there is the heavenly ecclesia, and we are the physical population of that eternal ecclesia, we're not going anywhere. I don't care. And when you read that, I have a whole course on the gates of hell, because it's important that we know what that looks like. But I'm telling you today, everybody listening to the sound of my voice, I'm saying to you today, the church of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, Jesus of Nazareth, is going nowhere. Now, you might not want to go there. You might not want to stop in. You might have chosen not a good church, just like there are great churches and poor churches. There are great leaders and poor leaders. There are quality pastors and there are mediocre pastors. That's all fine and good. But understand, you cannot even begin to prophesy the demise of the Church of Lord Jesus Christ when the man who founded it, who is God, said, it's no, we're not going anywhere. Now, we're going to have some ups and downs. Jesus is one of those, this is a bad marriage or good marriage. You know, we've been a bad marriage to the Lord, but he's still holding on. It's a bad marriage. You want to talk about whether or not your marriage is worth fighting for? Look at Jesus. We are his bride, and we are not giving him too much of anything that's pleasing him. And you know what? He's still not calling for divorce. He's still saying, but we're going to, believe me, I'm going to work this thing. I'm going to bring it into subjection. I'm going to subdue this thing, and then I'm going to take it to my father, and she's going to be all dressed in white, and we're going to go ahead and consummate this marriage, because I decree that I'm going to be a husband, and I decree my church is going to be a wife, and we're going to stay together. I decree that. Now, we're going to work at it until it happens. That's how he feels about the church. So how in the world are you going to say that? You cannot say that this man is going to divorce, because that's what it means to say the church is going to die. God's going to divorce his wife. He's not going to do it. The Lord God hates divorce. So he's not going to divorce his wife. He said, I'm not abusive. I'm not a whore. I'm not a whoremonger. He's not sleeping around. He's tolerating us. Jesus Christ, God bless him, he is Hosea. You realize that. He is Hosea, and the church is Gomer. He can't keep us home, can't keep us in, can't keep us safe. We're just not working with him. But God loves us with an endless love. He's never letting us go. We are bound to him. He is not letting us go. He will break every bone in our body. He will transform us over and over again. But we are going to stand before God the Father, beside God the Son, as the bride of Christ. God says, the Spirit and the bride says, come for a reason, because it's done in heaven, and he's bringing it to pass on earth. This church is going nowhere. Last point I'd like to say, commenting actually on what you mentioned, and that is when God, Daniel and Ezekiel, do you realize most of those prophets were sent into other places and they still stayed faithful to God? Daniel purposed in his heart, I'm not eating any of that stuff because I don't want the booze or the intoxication to cause me to abandon my God and defect from my faith. So I'm going to stay with Yahweh. And you look around there, you look at David. David had to sojourn with all of these countries. Stay faithful to his God. Stay faithful to his God. And so God may have time. Joseph, God may have time that he will send you in another place, but he's not sending you to leave him. He's sending you to take him and to represent him. And he expects you to represent him in truth. So if God called you to business or marketplace or media or whatever, God didn't expect you to go there and become like them. He sent you there to convert, not to be converted. It's a powerful thing. We got a lot that we could cover on this, Ashley. I'm sure we could chew the fat. And maybe when we get in our prophets forum in June, we can really kind of dig into this subject a little bit. But I wanted to leave you or to sow into you today something that will let you recognize that God is a serious God. And we keep acting like he is some sort of mythical creature. God's not mythical. We are mythical. Because remember, they've been around. Whoever predates is the standard. And they've been around forever. God is the archetype. And the Old Testament is the prototype. And we have been melded into the eternal type of God. So guess what? God is not mythical. And we're smaller than him. We're the only planet in the universe. No other planet got any population. No other planet is doing anything. They've sent probes. They've sent everything. We spent billions of dollars to learn what God wrote in his word. Y'all it. You guys are it. And outside of you, there's us. So there's us and there's you. That's it. And so God's not mythical. God is not imaginary. His word is real. Just because he shut our minds off to him doesn't mean that he shut himself off to us. And so God wants us to know that I have a plan, and you all are being grafted into, first of all, the church was grafted into Israel, but Israel, if the eternal Israel is grafted into God's eternal world. We were grafted into a world that's lived forever, and that's where we are. So we don't get to make up the rules just because we don't like them. It doesn't make a difference how many people do it wrong. God is looking for folks to do it right, because God is literally stroke counting those who does it right, because those who do it wrong, he could care less about that. He's like, hey, if you're evil, be evil still. If you're unholy, be unholy still. I'm looking for those that work with me. So I hope that was a blessing to everyone. Be good to hear your feedback on it on Facebook. And since we're mentioning social media, we should bring on our social media prophet.
Are you there? Prophet Adia.
Yes. Hello, doctor. I am writing notes too, so forgive me. I'm typing over here feverishly. Well, good morning, Paula Price Show listeners. It's so great to be with you all every Thursday. I want to give you just a few tidbits of how you can connect with Dr. Price outside of Thursdays. We want to make sure that you go to www.drpaulaprice.com, and if you are not already on our email list, click that contact us and tell us to add you. We want to make sure that we can send out all the notices about where Dr. Price is going to be and when, what new products she has going out, all about her events and up specials. So make sure you go to drpaulaprice.com and click contact us and tell us to add you so we can make sure that you're a part of that. If you are on social media, so is Dr. Paula Price. You want to make sure you go to facebook.com/drpaulaprice. Click like on her page. You can also go to twitter.com and look her up under @drpaulaprice. Follow her on Twitter. We always do live tweets during the program on Thursdays. So if you wanted to catch that quote that you just missed, you can probably log on to Twitter and see that quote there. If you are on LinkedIn, Dr. Price is on LinkedIn as well, www.linkedin.com, and you can look her up on LinkedIn under Dr. Paula Price. She actually has a group on LinkedIn and a network where she talks about building your team, strengthening your team, giving your team tools to succeed. And speaking of the tools to succeed, we want to let you know about a special that we have going on right now. This month, we have launched a new class. It is a 6-week class. It's called Building Your Commission Team. It is all about getting the tools you need to get your team ready to execute your commission, specifically for apostles and apostolic teams. It is a powerful, powerful course taking you through all the ins and outs of stocking your commission and equipping your team. So it's a dual class. It's for apostles that are looking to build their team, but it's also for apostolic teams that are looking for the tools that you need to support your apostles' commission. So it's a two-part type of thing, and we want you to make sure you go on to drpaulaprice.com where you can get all the details on how to register for this special class. It is at an introductory rate right now of $49.99, so you do not want to miss that. It's going to be going on now through the end of February. So we will see you online at drpaulaprice.com.
Thank you, Prophet Adia, always keeping us in the know. Dr. Price, are you ready to take a commercial break and then we'll jump right in with your callers?
I want to do that, but I want to talk a little bit. You know, Ashley, I just did a brief infomercial on our commission class. It's called Building Your Commission Team, Stage 1, Powerful Training. That is what Prophet D is talking about. And I did a brief infomercial that's going to be playing probably tomorrow. I like to do this to Adia so she can text me and let me know, oh, Dr. Price. But in any event, I appreciate her because she rolls with me. The girl rolls with me well. Bless the Lord. But, you know, you need those prophets to think with you and dream with you. I happen to have a very potent commission team. And how they became that way is what I included in the training, the six-week class. So I wanted to tell you that. I want to give you, for those of you who are interested, I want to say this to you. A commission team is not the same as a mission team. So you might want to enroll just to find out what the difference is. Because, see, evangelists and pastors have missions teams. See, because you're dealing with going under some sort of apostolic umbrella in an ideal world, or at least under the head of your church. That's not what this is about. Apostles have a commission team, and you should check out what that means. But I will give you just a little peek. There are I want to give you the words that go with this commission team. And it's important that you know what it is. They all begin with D. If you have a pen, write it down, you know, because you're going to appreciate this. I promise you, you're going to appreciate this. So the first one is definition. So when you have a commission team, these are the things you want to answer so that you know what God is talking about when he talks about your commission team. Okay? So the first thing is going to be definition. The second one, delegation. The third one, deputy. God deputizes you. The next one, diplomacy. And the last one, dispensation. When you can answer all five of those and find out who fits what branch of that in your apostleship team, your prophetic team, and this includes intercessors, it includes prophets, it includes prayer warriors, it includes representatives of the whole fivefold, but how they wrap up in your commission, that's important. And so that's the information that you'll get. And so you'll be getting an opportunity to listen to my infomercial in a short while, but until then I wanted to leave you with those things. The first thing that your commission is supposed to do is be defined. Second thing is supposed to be, and it's very important, it's supposed to be, is the delegation of your authority. The next thing is you have to be deputized to go out in God's name. Then you have to understand the diplomacy arm of it. And lastly, dispensation. How is God bankrolling this thing? How do we bankroll this? Because it's important. So I thought, Ashley, that was a really good piece of information to share before you go to our announcements. And when we come back, I want my callers.
All right, we'll be right back with the Paul Price Show. You are listening to www.blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
Are you a prophet or apostle? Is your desire to help God's ministers come into their true identity and calling? Would you like to make a supplemental income while still doing what you love most, serving God as his kingdom agent? Now PPM Global Resources offers an exciting employment opportunity for apostles and prophets. We want to employ you to do what God made you to do for him. We work in the industry of ministry and want to bring the industry to your ministry. Imagine getting paid a regular income for doing what you already do. Think about doing more than prophesying or waiting for your next preaching opportunity to fulfill your calling. Now, PPM Global has created gainful employment positions for your mantle, just like pastors and teachers have enjoyed for ages. Sign up as an affiliate agent or independent sales consultant, and you'll be able to share PPM Global's unique ministry model with your associates and colleagues, and share the revenue PPM Global gains from your initiative. Or join PPM Global's team of advisors, coaches, and mentors, and take part in shaping the next generation of fivefold ministers for Jesus Christ. Wherever you fit, you'll enjoy the benefits of collaborating with PPM Global, including a means of increasing your contacts and income without increasing your workload. the opportunity to be a gainfully employed, bona fide apostle or prophet, the privilege of shifting the church back to apostolic and prophetic leadership, and the honor of placing God's people in their right purpose and destiny. Apply today, get trained, change lives, and earn more. PPM Global Resources. Explore the possibilities. Would you like to take the guesswork out of discovering your calling and purpose by using one simple tool? PPM Global Resources Ministry Assessment Questionnaire offers a variety of solutions for all aspects of the ministry spectrum for people just like you who are seeking sound wisdom, direction, and guidance to help you get into your place. The Ministry Assessment Questionnaire is specially designed to identify and assess what God has put in you, whether you are called to a fivefold office or ministry gifting. Going beyond a personality test or gift survey, you'll learn about your strengths and weaknesses, emotional intelligence, ministry readiness and reliability, leadership capability, the right education you need, and so much more. Your ministry assessment questionnaire comes with a 30-minute advisement session to review your assessment with one of our trained advisors, who will walk you through your results and customize the best plan of action for you. To get started now, go to ppmglobalresources.com and fill out your personal profile. Assess, advise, apply, achieve. If God has called you to it, we want to help you do it.
Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price, host of The Paula Price Show, reminding you to revisit last week's program at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show.
And we are back live on The Paula Price Show with our second hour, taking some live callers. Dr. Paula Price, are you ready?
I'm set.
Then
let's go.
Okay, we have on the line today Lovey, and Lovey is calling from Kansas. He has a bit of some trial and things going on with his family, and he would like some prayer. Lovey, welcome back to the Paula Price Show, sir.
Hello, Dr. Price.
How are you doing, Lovey? Glad to hear from you again.
For the most part, I'm doing okay.
All right, so where are we going to start? Where do you want to start?
I'm just asking for prayer, Dr. Price. There's just a lot of just tension and division going on within my family right now concerning my grandmother. To make a long story short, when I came back from Tulsa for my training, I got a message from my family that my grandmother was missing. So my family, my aunts and uncles, we felt, you know, were desperately looking for her, and we put out a missing persons report, and then come to find out that my aunt, who's been living with my grandmother this whole time, then basically put her up in a nursing home, put her up in a nursing home, and she kind of refused to tell the family where she was. So it just caused a lot of tension, and now my family's been doing, like, some investigation and come to find out that my aunt is doing some very, very, very shady things, like, you know, taking money out of my grandmother's account and so on and so forth. And so now it's causing, you know, my aunts and uncles to fight against each other, and I mean, just a bunch of name calling. It got so bad to where I even got on Facebook. And it's just the stress level. It's causing me to stress out, you know, because, and I don't know, I just never seen so much ugliness concerned to my grandmother and my family. And then just yesterday, my family went to go see my grandmother because my aunt allowed us to go see her, And my grandmother basically said to us, you know, what your aunt is doing to me is wrong. I was manipulated here. I did not ask to come here. And, you know, she just basically wants out. But it's like since she has power of attorney over my aunt, I mean over my grandmother, it's like we kind of got our hands tied. And I've never seen my grandmother weep like that before, and it's been tearing me apart. And even last night, I had a dream about my grandmother, and in the dream, I was in her house, and she was in a rocking chair, and I said, Grandma, how did you get here? Why did she put you in this rocking chair? I mean, why did she put you in the nursing home? And she leaned forward. She said, Lovey, I am so glad you asked me that. So I took out a pen and paper, getting ready to write down the answer, and that's kind of when I woke up. But it's just causing tension. You know, I've been very emotional about it, been trying to keep a straight face. I got cousins now. I got cousins turning on cousins, you know, aunts and uncles turn on each other because all over my grandmother, and I'm just tired. I just want peace.
Well, you know, well, peace is something. I'm going to tell you right now, Levy, peace is a decision. I know we think it isn't, but peace is an actual decision. And the reason I know it's a decision because God said hold to peace, keep peace, stay in peace, work in peace, walk in peace. So peace is not it's not some sort of abstract sentiment that, you know, you kind of hope. You know, peace is a decision. Even commanding peace on the situation, that has to do with someone saying, we take the chaos out of this, and we command the peace of God to prevail in this, because peace is a decision. Don't ever think that losing your cool or losing your peace is something that is utterly out of your control. Now, it's very impelling to get caught up in other people's emotions. It's very impelling for us to want to live in panic. But panic is something that happens as a reflex. Peace is a deliberate action. So you may have a reflex called panic or anxiety or whatever we want to call it, but remember this, as long as you live, peace is a decision. You decide how your emotions are going to respond to and handle a situation. You decide the mental frame of mind you want. You choose that, because that is why our Savior died, to give us free will. And so having said that, your peace is up to you. There's no magic bullet for peace. Because if there was, well, hallelujah, peace would already accompany panic. So if peace was automatic, here's what would happen. You'd hear something, you'd get upset, you'd move into a panic, you'd move into anxiety, and then the next automatic emotion would be peace. Peace is not. Everything pertaining to God has to be a deliberate initiative, a deliberate act. We may be bound to sin, but we literally raise our will to bring sin under the righteousness of God. That's the uniqueness of who we are on the planet, and it's the uniqueness of how God made this thing. You have got to exert your will for peace. And when you do, interesting thing about peace, when it comes, clarity follows. All of a sudden, you can think clearly. And when clarity follows, you then find on the heels of that alternatives, possibilities, instructions, suggestions. And so you, since you already realize this thing has gotten out of control, you pull yourself under and bring yourself in peace. And that's a whole kind of thing that we have to learn to do, but you have to do that. That's a decision of your will, act of your will. Just because everybody else is deciding to lose it, you don't have to. That's a decision. And they're deciding to lose it because it feels really good to be angry. It feels very good to vent. That's just a human response. We do that. Now, having said that, I don't know all of the details. Of course, I could not possibly know anything about how the power of attorney happened, but I do know that if that many people in your family are having a problem, then it seems like you need to seek counter legal advice. Now, that's what it seems like to me. And so if this woman feels like she's been virtually abducted and been put in a place against her will and prevented from coming out on her own, that is a problem. That is, I mean, there has to be some sort of governmental thing. If her funds are being diverted, I'm sure that there are government agencies who would want to intervene in something like that. So, again,
right.
If you keep your peace, then you will get some sort of direction. So I would suggest that if her funds are being diverted, then and obviously she's a grandparent, I'm assuming she's on Social Security or something like that, then you need to contact
yes.
Social Security people. Okay, they have a whole department who handle that. And then by that time, you can be looking at why the woman was put in there. I don't know why she put her in. I don't know if your grandmother is ill and she didn't tell anybody. I don't know. But it seems like whatever the reason is, you all can sit here and chew each other and tear each other apart, or somebody with a sober mind can stand up and say, you know, we need to contact an attorney. You know, we need to get some more counsel. We need to contact the Social Security Administration. We need to find out how this happened, whatever it is. But you need to make sure that your grandmother, that your aunt didn't do this. Well, even if you get some medical advice, you might need to find out if there's a medical thing that we need to investigate to find out why this is happening. But whatever the case is, we have in America, thank God for our country, on so many fronts, there are a lot of agencies who can help you with this situation. But panic and terrorizing one another and allowing your family to get torn apart, that's ridiculous. I mean, that's not helping anyone. And those are the behaviors and the reactions of the powerless. We're not powerless. And again, peace is a decision. Don't ever forget that I told you that.
Right.
No.
Yeah, it's it.
Are you feeling your peace coming on you? Because it's your choice.
I do. It's just, you know, it's just funny how, like the last time I back in November, you know, when you said, you know, my grandmother prayed for me, you know, when you said what you said about me back in November, and then to come to find out this is kind of happening to her right now, it's kind of blowing my mind a little bit, you know, and yeah,
but your
it's
mind
just
is in
a lot.
Control. No, it's
right.
not. I'm telling you. See, all of those are social conditioning because, you know, in order for you to have a frenzied society, you have to teach people to lose all control. That's how you
right.
create a frenzied society. So now God wants a sober society, so he's going to teach you how to regain and maintain your control. Your emotions should be out of your control just for a few moments before you decide to bring yourself back into a place of sobriety so that you can make good decisions and take prudent steps to work on your situation. And that's what God wants you to do. So your family, whatever they are, not, I don't know. But I'm telling you, you have alternatives. So when we hang up this call today, you're going to talk to whoever else is in charge, if it's your mom or whatever, and say, hey, these are some things we need to investigate. You need to verify a few things, and you need to confirm some things before we just jump to conclusions and say, oh, hell is broken loose, and there's nothing we can do about it. This is not an earthquake. You know, this is not a rainstorm. This is not a tornado. It might seem like it, you know, situationally, but it's not out of your control. You've got some – dig your hands in this thing and work it out and according to the wisdom and using the resources that are available to you. Okay? So I'm going to pray, and then you're going to let us know how this turns out. I know you will because you always do. But I'm going to pray because you need to recognize that, you know, life upsets, however turbulent they may be, they're not the same as natural disasters that you can do nothing about. We have options, and we have to work them through. Father, thank you so much. God, I praise you for Lovey. I praise you for his tenderness, his care, his concern, and God, his love and affection for you, his love and affection for his grandmother, and his deep concern for his family. Now, Lord, show him that this is an opportunity for you to mature him yet another level and to give him more control. Show him how he's got to get good at this, to take the reins of authority and the reins of leadership in his family and the one that he's going to have. God, I thank you for strengthening him with all might in his inner man, all might. And I thank you, Lord, for giving him and his family, those who are clear-thinking and clear-headed, instructions and counsel on how to handle this situation. I thank you, Lord, that you guide their footsteps, that you direct them to the right agencies and the right facilities for working this out. I thank you, Lord, that you even direct them to the right attorney so that they can get sound counsel and sage counsel. And, Lord, that they're heard by the people that you've raised up to intervene for them on their behalf in this situation. And I praise you for doing it, Holy Father. Amen and amen. And God, teach him how to maintain his peace and how to cope with crises and still do so in peace. And I praise you for doing it, Father. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Keep me posted now. I want to know.
I will. And thank you, Dr. Price.
You're always welcome, but you know that, don't you?
I do.
And God bless. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye-bye.
Next call.
I have one for you.
I
next
thought
we
you
have
might.
The East. Yes. The East Coast is checking in today. This is Lisa calling from Connecticut. And she would like prayer for her family and also prayer that she can have clarity with dreams and visions. Lisa from Connecticut, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi. Hi, Dr. Price.
Hi, Lisa. Have we talked before?
Yes.
Yes, I thought I remembered the name from Connecticut. That's why I asked. You know, I like to put my memory to the test. How are you doing, Lisa?
I'm okay. I just I wanted prayer for my family, like healing in my family, and clarity with my visions and dreams. They seem to be somewhat skewed lately and just jumbled.
Mhm. Yeah, I understand that. Well, we will pray. We will include the family prayer and the prayer for your visions and dreams. Lisa, have you taken any kind of a training for your visions and dreams?
I took an assessment with you, with your ministry before.
But you need training. You know, assessment is not training. Assessment tells you the kind of training you need. You need some training. Here's what I want to say, because so many people are where you are today. We, you know, all of these spiritual resources and faculties that the Lord is reviving in his
mm-hmm.
church, they all still need to be developed. But because they've come as gifts, we just assume that they come forth perfect.
Okay.
And so you have to learn how to manage these gifts. You have to know how to handle them when they come and how to apply them and relate them to whatever. So my suggestion to you is that you need to, I don't know, did you ever buy my prophet's dictionary? Because that's a start.
Yes.
Okay. But you need prophetic training. You need dream and vision training. And you need somebody who does this and who's already broken through in this arena to train you, to give you those tools and all of those kinds of tips that you need to make it make sense. That's the first thing. When you think about it, Daniel, the master dreamer of Scripture, had 3.5 years of training. So even though he had dreams, he still needed training. And so he may have been dreaming all his life, and they were, as you just pointed out, jumbled. But somebody has to create the mental and psychological corridor in your brain and in your mind, in your mind's eye, for you to make the connection between what you're dreaming and to apply intelligence to it. We have in the church fallen prey to depriving our spiritual faculties of prudent intelligence. And so God needs you to do that. That's my first thing. And there is no magic bullet. We have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. So we act like because it comes from God, it comes forth perfect. Well, it does. It comes from God perfect, but it lands in imperfect vessels. You know, it lands in folks. We still have to learn how to read, write, and all of that. Now, some of us learn it quicker than others, but we still have to put this thing in a 24/7 flesh human regimen. So you need training. And I hope everybody who's listening to me today will accept that. It was the worst teaching we ever gave you, was that if you get it from God, just go on out and do it. And you said, that's what got us in the mess we're into today. No other institution would do that. So I want you to think about and talk to God about what kind of training you need and where you can get that kind of training. So that's my first thing. Now, my second comment on the situation when you're talking about that suddenly jumbled, typically, when your dreams get jumbled, it's because your soul is jumbled. When they don't make a lot of sense and you can't sort them out, it's because there are issues in your daily life you're not sorting out. okay? And not every dream. When your soul is jumbled, you don't deduce or conclude that every dream is prophetic. Some of them, I don't know what this is. Some of them are not prophetic at all. Some of them are just your soul trying to process and figure out who, what, when, where, and all of that. And so I would like to say to you that you probably need a lot of prayer. Maybe you need to pull away from some things, pull away from, you know, TV, maybe put yourself in a Bible thing or a word fast or something. But you need to pull yourself away so that your soul can sort out and sort through all that's happening with you. You did mention just now that your family needs healing. So a lot of that is probably all converging at once. And your mind, your mental faculties are trying to filter it out, trying to sort through it, and they can't. It's just too bombarded. And then when you're prophetic, they tend to mix all up, and you just end up having this kind of a plaid tapestry, kind of thing that you don't know where it came from. So I want to say to you, number one, you need some training. Number two, you might need to pull away in a prayer and word fast, a word feast. I'm not talking about fasting food, but really to just kind of give your spirit and your soul some direction from God. Those are the two things that I would say to you right now. Anything else before I pray?
No.
Does that make sense to you, Lisa?
Yes, it makes a lot of sense to me. Great deal of sense.
Good, good. And I want to tell you, too, all of you who are listening, you have to develop that. Another thing training will do is teach you how to discern the texture of a prophetic dream from a soul dream. Because all of those faculties have got to be developed. They don't come automatic. All God does is release the picture, and he leaves it up to you to want to be excellent enough to perfect what he released and to discern what he's done. So I'm going to pray now. Hallelujah. Father God, Lord, you're so good. Lord, you are a sugar honey pie God. We love you so much. You're a great God, Jesus, great Lord. And we thank you for being you, for being who you are, and for being all that you are. So, Father God, I ask that you, by your spirit, begin to lead Lisa where she needs to go to get the training that's best for her, that she's most suited to. I'm asking that you would lead her in the way that she should go so that she could learn and develop from you as she must, in Jesus' name. Now, God, I'm not only asking you that, but I'm asking that you would cause her, God, to connect with people who have gone this way before who can teach her. And Lord, even counsel her, maybe not teach her, but counsel her. I'm also asking that you would break through in healing for her family. Lord, every member of her family, I'm asking that you would release healing, whether you release it through them getting connected with the appropriate doctor, the appropriate caregivers, or whether you do so by direct divine healing. I'm asking you to release it and to have mercy on her family members in this situation. Lastly, God, I'm asking that you would bring Lisa back into her place of peace, the peace in you, Lord, that causes her life to make sense and causes the things around her to settle and causes her to make great decisions, God, and to view things positively. And we bless you for doing it all, Father, in the awesome name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen and amen.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
Oh, you're very welcome. Stay in touch. I want to hear you get your training and know how that turns out.
All right. Have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye. Prophet?
Yes, ma'am. Are you ready for somebody else?
Do you have anybody else?
Yes. I always have somebody else on your line, Dr. Price.
Amen. Well, I'm ready. Let's go.
All right. We have next on the line Sandra from New York. I love when this happens on the Paula Price Show. She said she had a request, but after your exhortation, she just wanted to say thank you. So, Sandra from New York, welcome to the Paula Price Show.
Hi.
Hi, Sandra. How are you?
I'm fine, Dr. Price. How are you?
I'm all blessed up, and I'm glad to hear your voice.
Yeah.
Where do you want to begin?
Yes. Well, actually, I was just calling for prayer for my family. And but after I began to listen to you, you know, with the exhorting and the teaching, I was just so blessed by it. And I'm like, I don't even really have a request. And I just wanted to say thank you for sharing, you know, the gift of God, you know, that's in you. Because I started listening to you on Blog Talk maybe back in August. Maybe it had been a little bit longer than that. But I had called back in September, and I received some things from you. And I'm in training, you know. One of the words was, you know, for me to get back in school, you know, to get my education and training. So I'm going through some training classes, you know, at my church. And but just, you know, whenever I can call in and listen to teachings, you know, the exhortation is just, it's so rich. And it's much needed. And I just wanted to say thank you. I appreciate the God in you.
Well, thank you so much for that. And, Fonda, you know how important it is for us to get this encouragement when we have to step out on the water in something like this. I trust each and every one of your prayers for me, and I get them a lot. So I do thank you for the encouragement. And I'm still not going to let you go without praying. So I'm just going to pray. How about that?
Yes, ma'am.
Father, God, you're awesome. And we, God, I thank you for Sandra today. God, I thank you that she loves you. I thank you that you have her on a straight course. I'm looking at her walking down highway straight down, God, and she's moving ahead. I thank you, Lord, that you, no, even now, though, she's a little bit nervous because I see her walking the yellow line. And God, I thank you, though, that even though she's doing it and she has some concern, she's still pressing forward. And I praise you for making it clear for her, put her on a smooth pathway. And God, let her know that at the end of this thing, there's a good blessing. I see at the end of the road, I see a wonderful tree, God, and it's a lush green tree. And that means that she's going to be planted in the right place and settled in the right place. And that at the end of this journey, there is going to be shade and covering and protection. So I thank you, God, that these things happen for her in the apple shake and under, in the awesome name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you.
You're very welcome. God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
Okay. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I'm ready, Ashley.
Don't you just love it?
I do. I really do.
I think that's wonderful. Excuse me. When someone calls
you know,
in.
We do things so blind, we forget that, you know, we are landing and people are being blessed.
Yes. But that's why it pays to have someone like you who really can not just hear the voice of the Lord, but actually obey and to help us all out. Thank you.
Well, you know how much I love doing it. I mean, Ashley, I start getting excited on Wednesday. Oh, right, that's right, tomorrow. Ooh, yeah, that's tomorrow, show day. I'm happy. I am excited. And I love it. I love hearing these people. I do. I love hearing how God is moving in their lives. I mean, I want the prayers. I want to hear the concerns they have. I want to pray for them. But the best part is for God, when I see God start doing some things. This woman that just got on the phone, her future is so rich. I don't even think she knows how rich her future is. And I had to shut up because I was getting ready to open up a whole book. And I thought, God said, wait a minute. We don't want to rush her. Let her go at the pace I'm taking her. And so I would say to her, even though we've ended the call, I would say to her, you have a great future, and it's going to be good. So, who's next?
Amen. Well, that's awesome. Okay, Deborah from Georgia is on the line, and she is calling for prayer for a ministry she started. The ministry name is Kingdom Embassy Global Ministries, and God called her to, as an apostle. She wants some prayer. So, Deborah from Georgia, welcome to the show.
Oh, good afternoon.
How are you, Deborah from Georgia? I was wondering if I was going to get a Georgia today. I usually get one Georgia a week.
I'm excited. This is the first time I called, and I always listen, but this is the first time I said I'm going to call in. I love your ministry, and I think I have every book, you know, and I'm a quiet follower. and just really appreciate what God has done for you and your openness to share to with other people in the ministry. Amen.
Well, thank you so much for that and your blessing and your encouragement. But I hear you're getting ready to do something. You just started your own ministry. Tell me about it.
Yes, yes, I did. It's been a process. I moved from New York here to Georgia, and I knew that the Lord had me to open up ministry here, but it was a process of me being obedient and also the timing. So it's been, I said, okay, God, and how are you going to do this? Because I wanted the place to have the chairs and certain things. So he had me go back to school, and I did my master's. And every time I got a refund check, I bought something. I bought the keyboard, I bought drums, I bought the sound system and stuff. And when that finished, and he said, okay, now I found the location and opened up, and our first service was November last year. And the Lord is steady building, and I know that he has me to develop leadership in the fivefold specifically. So he's brought in people pretty much that's in ministry to the church so far, you know. And I'm like, my heart is open. I'm like, Lord, just teach me how to develop them, you know, and the work that you have for them to do, you know. I don't believe that this is a one-man show, you know. That's not what God has called me to. It's to develop and to send out. So I'm not surprised when I look up and, oh, this is a prophet that he's brought in, and this is a so-and-so. And these people have been hurt by other ministries. So I'm like, Lord, show me how it is, what you want me to do, and how I should work with them to develop them. So that's my prayer, that you would just pray for me. I should say that the Lord called me to be an apostle, and as soon as I felt that, I'm like, okay, I knew from a child. I remember I had a dream, and I saw this, and I didn't understand because I was raised in a church that didn't speak in tongues, and we didn't have apostles and prophets. It's more so like a Wesleyan-type church, and he's always had me on the outskirts. Like, I got saved at 9, started to speak in tongues, got filled with the Holy Ghost at 13 in this church. I'm like, oh, my God, what is this God? You know, called me to the ministry. And it's always been like that. So when finally the prophet stood and said, you know, the Lord's called you to be an apostle, I'm like, Lord, you know, what is this? And I had to dig, so I grabbed your books and I got other people. And I'm like, Lord, show me clarity, you know, clarity in this, because whatever you've called me to, I want to do it and I want to be effective. That's my heart's cry. So I'm going to stop, and I would like you to pray for me.
I will pray for you. Well, I will. I'm going to do a couple of things. I will pray for you, Deborah. First of all, I want to say congratulations on your ministry, on your new church, because that is an awesome thing. And I have found in my experience there is nothing like when God births a new church. He gets a kick out of it. It blesses him to do it. So I want to say that. And the second thing I want to say is I was going to say you were a transplant from New York. Since I'm from Jersey, you know, I recognize that New York accent.
Yes.
And so it's still real fresh in you, girl, real fresh in you. But I want to tell you something. You know, I was sitting here as you were talking, and truthfully, Deborah, I was debating with myself if I wanted to just pray and, you know, just say the right prayer and go on, or if I wanted to give you counsel. And so I'm going to do what I know to do. Your church is of God. It's going to do well. But you're going to have to accept it's a long journey.
Yes.
Now, I want to say this because it's important that you hear what the rationale. Even though you're getting profits and all of those things, et cetera, I want to tell you something. That's not your final congregation.
Amen. Yes, I know. Yes.
You're going to cut your teeth on that. That's the first thing. The second thing, this is a trap I fell into. They come in. We've been hurt by other churches. Let me tell you something. If God sent them, they're not, especially a leader's not going to come talking about their pain. They're going to talk about their purpose.
Yes.
And they're going to talk about what God wants them to do with you and how God wants you to do it. Now, let me tell you, don't fall into that trap that we do all do as Christians where we figure it's our responsibility to make sure that the boo-boos they got over there are healed over here by us, and it's our choice. You did not have anything to do with that. You don't know whether they're telling you the truth. You don't know if they're exaggerating. You're only hearing one side of it.
Yeah.
So don't drop your guard. Now take it from one who lived it. Do not drop your guard. Receive them in the grace of Jesus Christ and do just what Jesus did. Pray about them and let him tell you what you have and what you're working with. Because trust me, that some of them may stay with you a long time. You may get a handful to stay with you a long time. But the majority of them are people that God is using to train you. They are your training tools and your training implements.
Amen.
Now, I know we don't often give people this kind of counsel, and I really wish somebody had given it to me. Why? I poured my heart and soul in people for 30 years. My first church, oh, my God, my first church drove me nuts.
Mm-hmm.
Those were the wildest people I've ever had in my life. I'm 30 years later. I'm still trying to get old. I think I still might have a save, a stitch or something. I don't know. But they were great for me. They were great because they took the rose-colored glasses off. They took the stars out of my eyes. And they said, this is the work. This is what Jesus is dealing with, and this is the work. And some of them turned out to be very powerful people, wonderful folk. Many, many, many of them were just passers through. They just passed through. They were there for me to get a lesson, a class, an exposure, or something. So I want to tell you right now, as sweet as these people are, you are on assignment. And they can't come in and tell you your vision. They cannot come in and tell you how God told you to do this. If a person is called to you, they're called to you without their own mandate.
Mm-hmm.
They're called to your mandate. If they come in talking about a whole lot of terror stories, you need to back up. Love them, pray for them, and ask God what to do. Because I'm telling you, when you first start a church, there are a lot of things that are sent to take your church out and take your ministry out, particularly if you're apostolic.
Yeah.
That's real, okay? So let me just say, you're going to have a great church. You're going to work hard. You're going to have to roll up your sleeves a lot. But I'm telling you, you say God called you to fivefold leadership, and you're not wrong. You're not going to get babies, but trust me, you're going to get warriors. And so you're going to have to learn how to war, win in the love of Jesus Christ. But
Amen.
Do not fall into the trap of thinking it is your responsibility to heal somebody that got hurt in another church.
Yeah.
Because you will sap all your strength, and the vision God gave you will never happen. We will
Amen.
Talk about healing. Let me pray for you, sweetheart. I'm going to pray for you, bless you real good, and all of that. You're not going to tell me that story more than twice. After that, we're done. You have a mandate. Stay on your mandate. And I feel like God is saying to me that he's very stern with you about this. So I don't know what's brewing in your midst, but stay on your mandate. You write your plans. You write your policies. You write your vision. You do that, and they come into that. Because when you have a church and you start getting these early leaders, they're coming in to finish off their ministry on your mandate, and you don't want that.
Amen.
So
Amen.
There's much we can tell you. You know, I don't know. I mean, you know, if you want, you can contact my office later on and see if you can set up a counseling. But I'm telling you, God has great hopes for you, but you have many, many, many traps that are set for you. And I would love for you to know what those traps are.
Yes. Amen.
I hope that was helpful to you. I've debated on whether or not to say it or just, you know, but I know to me, sometimes we, as leaders, those of us who have gone before, we decide, well, you know, I don't want to speak into it or whatever. But I'm telling you, you have a great work, but you are going to go for a journey. This is a ride. And the Holy Ghost said, you need to be prepared to dig in and hunker down for 5 years.
Yes, amen. Amen.
Now, on the other side of 5 years, you will finish your training, you know, because, see, this is your this is your OJT, you know, this is your in-the-trenches training. See, I always say, we like to say on-the-job training, but in God, it's in the trenches. He's going to send you right in the trenches, you know, and you're going to be in the trenches. But God says if you ride this out, he said at the end of your fifth year, when you hit your sixth year, this thing is going to open up and blossom and mushroom like a huge garden.
Amen. Amen.
Now, I don't know. Some people like to have that kind of advanced information. I've had people say, don't tell me no bad news. I don't know. I'm just telling you.
Oh, no, I love it. I follow you because you just give it like it is, and that's what, you know, I want. That's good. And I don't mind hard work. I don't. Amen.
That's the thing. Your sixth year, And those who stay with you, you make sure, write it in your notes, put it in your calendar. Those who after that you gather from all of them that's going to come and go, your ebb and flows, those people are going to give you one of the most wonderful dinners to celebrate your success, because that's going to be, that's going to mark God telling you the new day has come.
Amen. Amen.
All right? Just remember I said that. You're great. We're going to pray for you, and we're going to keep, and I want you to pop in now and again and keep us posted, but I don't want you to go into this thing and find your soul devastated because you did not know how to prepare yourself.
Yeah, amen.
Because I sure wish somebody had done it for me. Father, in Jesus' name, I bless you, bless you, bless you, Holy Father. What a great God. God, we thank you for your brand new church. We thank you for this new minister of the gospel, this new woman of grace, this new apostolic voice that's rising up. God, we thank you for it. But now I'm asking that you would put around her quality leaders, quality counselors, advisors that she can trust, and leaders even in her congregation, in her eldership, people that have your best interest at heart and her her mandate as an assignment. I'm asking that you would do this for this woman, God, that you would meet every need. She sounds like she's very, very orderly. She's very prudent in her approach. So, God, I'm asking that you continue to order her steps. Move her forward, Father God, into the things that you've decreed for her life. But, Lord, let not one person come in to take her off course or to overtake what she's doing. So, God, I'm asking that you would meter her progress and meter her process so that she can capture the best of everything you have for her, and that she's not overwhelmed and she's not thrown in the deep end of the pool too soon. I'm asking that you would cause her to do baby steps, little here and a little there. God, take charge of this thing, because it's a good thing. Take charge of it, Father, in the awesome name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you. Thank you so much. God bless you. And I will call the office for counsel and further instructions. Amen.
Good. Okay. Okay. Do that. I'm looking forward to it. In the meantime, God bless you.
God bless you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye. Prophet.
Yes, yes, yes. Good counsel as always. Next on the line, we have Terrell from Illinois. And Terrell is calling because she would like prayer for a ministry she started. She is calling because she had a dream where you told her to call the show. So she called the show, and she got proof. And now she's like, I'm just obeying God. So, Terrell from Illinois, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you.
Hi, Terrell from Illinois. Well, you know, I'm being your neck of the woods in a little bit.
Oh, you are?
Yes, I am. So, you have to check it out. I'm going to be in Joliet, Illinois. And I'm going to be at Antioch Christian Assembly. And I'm going to be there for a week doing some leadership training.
Okay. You know what? The last time you were there, I stopped by.
Well, then it's time for you to stop by again. What do you think?
Exactly. Absolutely.
How can I bless you today, my beloved?
Okay. Well, like Ashley said, Prophet Ashley said, I had a dream last night that you were in a meeting, and I was there. Excuse me, I'm kind of getting over a cold. You were in a meeting, and I was there in the meeting. And after the meeting was over, you signaled me out and said, I need you to call me. I need you to come see me tomorrow for lunchtime. So when I got up this morning, I was like, okay, that was strange. But because how am I going to see her tomorrow for lunchtime? And then when I looked on Facebook and saw that you were doing Blog Talk Radio around lunchtime in Chicago, so I said, okay, let me see if I can get in on the line and give her a call for lunch.
I love it. You're sharing your lunch with me. Listen, the next time we have lunch together, you buy in, and I want real food.
Absolutely, because I ate good today. The teaching was wonderful. Yes, it was. It could have gone the whole 2 hours. It was good.
Amen. So now tell me this. What's the ministry you started?
No, I didn't. Actually, I didn't start a ministry. I believe that's another call. I didn't start a ministry. The last time we did talk, I did I was going through some situations with my marriage and with ministry, and I took the advice that you did give me. Some of it was a hard pill to swallow, but I took it. And actually, I just got, I don't know what you would call it, but I just got put in charge over a prophetic team at my church. So I'm the leader in one of the prophetic teams at my church. And before I wasn't, but you did prophesy on that part when I spoke to you last year, the earlier part of last year. So, and you also said some things about my marriage, and I took that as well. So, the main thing I got from that was that even though I was going to go through some hard places, that God was still going to be with me, and to just some other things that you said for me to hold on to, and even with ministry, and cause I think everybody was calling you that day for ministry and marriage, and you had something different for each and every one of us. So, but God is true to his word, and I'm telling you, just to have someone that speaks into your life that can give you insight and wisdom of not only what you're going through in the present moment, but what is to come, and to realize that God is true and God is faithful. It's just awesome just to see, even in the difficult parts, it's still awesome to see that, yes, God is truly in control. And my faith is I don't have to be anxious or just going crazy, which sometimes it is difficult. It makes you think it's going crazy within the marriage part. But I'm holding true to everything turns out for my good. So I do want to say thank you for your wisdom and your counsel during that time. And it is still alive and it's still working today.
So is our marriage getting better or worse?
Well, you told me it was going to, well, if you the counsel you gave me was I was going to go through some rough parts before it got better. And I believe that I'm in the midst of that now, the rough part. But at the same time, the ministry part, everything is happening, is unfolding the exact way. I mean, some words I get happen somewhat, but when you get a word that happens pretty much the exact way or for the most part the way it was delivered, is I can't do nothing but say, okay, God, I'm going to be at peace and I'm going to rest in this and I'm going to just go forward. You said that he was going to give his life to God, but it was going to be a journey, and I'm on a journey.
Yeah, it's going to be a journey. But you know what? You obey God. Here's the word I'm hearing for you today. You pour your heart into what God gave you. Now, that's not to neglect or abandon your marriage, so don't misread that. But you be faithful in this assignment, because this is the distraction that keeps your emotions out of the way while God works the work he wants to work. So you learn this, this assignment that he gave you, your prophetic team, you learn this. And you believe God. And I want to say something to you that I feel the Holy Spirit is leading me to say to you right now, and that is, and if you put your marriage on an altar, don't bring it back down. Leave it up there. Don't even, hey, I believe God. I'm just working on what God said. Don't even try to explain it. Don't even do it. All I know is I believe God. And when you do that, then you give God an opportunity to work through what he said he's going to do and to finish what he starts. I hear the Holy Ghost saying to you, stay on course. I see you standing. And I don't know what this is, but you're standing, you're holding this pocketbook in your hand like you are, and you have an overcoat on, like you're headed to work in a very difficult season. But you're still standing, and you've still got this pocketbook on your left arm. It's not going anywhere, and you're standing, and you're dressed for business. In other words, it's not even I want to say to you, it's not glamorous. It's not stylish. It's just resolve. And I just hear God say, just continue your resolve stance and let him do what he says he's going to do. Because trust me, we want things to stop quickly, especially when we get a little ahead of God. We want God, okay, God, I got a little ahead of you, but come on now, God, you can get ahead and fix it. But remember, every decision we make, and you're a prophet, so I can say this to you, and it will land correctly. Every decision that we make has to have a natural consequence. But the decision is made outside of time. The consequence works itself out through time.
Wow.
So it's kind of like, you know, is this speaking to you, Terrell, at all?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Because,
it's so in line with what you said the last time. It was scary, but absolutely.
See, and you know, Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. So I want you to recognize that as you go forward, a lot of what you're living right now is God using to give you the prophetic wisdom and the prophetic instincts you need for doing things a little differently in the future. God wants you to know. And I mean, because we people come and give us prophecies, and we just, oh, my God, we lay out, and we're ready. But see, the prophecy is taking that eternal word of God and putting it in time. Once it's in time, it's subject to the laws of the physical world, and it's subject to the laws of time and space. And so even though we see the end of the prophecy, and it looks really great in one-night dream, that dream could be a decade. Because of all of the nuances and all of the little pieces and particles of that word that have yet to come together or to even find their physical counterpart. So I want you to know that, prophecy, love it. I mean, because I love speaking for God. And I love God bringing it to pass. But I don't kid myself. God is outside of time. And his word is outside of time until it comes out of my mouth. From the moment it comes out of my mouth, it's locked into the physical world. The laws of physics, the laws of time and space begin to rule that prophecy, which is why Paul told Timothy, war with the prophecies that were given to you. He talked about praying over them. He talked about, okay, you have got to do that. So where you are right now, you're going to have to war with that word. But you're going to, as you war with it, you're going to have to walk it out. Because it's very easy to hear a prophecy, and it is wonderful. It's very tasty to receive one and get excited if it's a positive one. But bottom line is, a prophecy falls into 24/7 clock, 24/7, 365. That alters how you think that word's going to come to pass.
That's good.
So God wants you to be good at this. I don't know if you said you've read my books. You should do that and go online. Go into my online school and take some of these trainings because they're going to help you.
Okay, I will.
All right. And I would say to you, while everybody else is listening, we have a number of courses going up every week. So you need to visit every week and take some of these courses to help you do it. Because one of the problems with prophecy, and I'll say that and then I'm going to pray for you, Terrell, but one of the issues of the problems that people have with prophecy is that because it comes in a moment, they think it's magic. Prophecy is not Shazam, Kazam, Bam. That's not how it works. Mm-hmm. Prophecy is God's word being assigned to invisible agents who must clothe it with human agents who must bring it to pass through human events.
Wow,
because because we get caught up in it coming out of God's mind, because it's perfect for God, it's perfect in God's world. If it never gets here, it'll never fail, it'll never be flawed, it'll never be slowed down. In God's word, everything's moving at the speed of light and faster. In our world, we 24/7, 365. And God has to set up a whole lot of things to make one human event happen. Just one. There are a lot of factors to make one human event happen. Taking this back now to your husband, you have a word. But you have to understand that that word has to work through his soul, human events, and all of the circumstances that God has to set up and use to break his heart and change his mind. He has to do that while this man is living a 24/7, 365 life.
That's good.
So that is why God says patience. That's why he always tells you prophecy and patience are cousins. They have to go together. because prophecy, we make prophecy seem like it's magic. It's not just prediction. Prophecy is not just prediction. Prophecy is literally the transportation of God's word on your matter. So I'm going to pray with you, but I wanted to give you that word. Father, thank you for Terrell. Thank you for who she is. Thank you for her love for you, her commitment, and her determination. God, I ask you to continue to give her the grace and the patience she needs to stand, and I ask you to show her, God, how to stand in this matter, but also how to walk out the fulfillment of your word. And Lord, as she does it, to recognize when each step of the plan is unfolding before her and that she is standing in your perfect will. God, give grace, give her patience, but most of all, God, give her an enlightening and enlightened awakening in you and how you do things in your kingdom and how you get your eternal solutions and provisions into our temporal world. God, she needs to master this for her to go forward and fulfill destiny. So I'm asking for you to let it be so in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Amen. Thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. I enjoyed that. So listen, hopefully we'll meet in Illinois.
Yes, we will. I'll see you when you get here.
All right. God bless you.
All right. God bless you too.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Prophet Ashley.
Dr. Price, I have somebody else for you.
I have time for one more, right?
You do, and I'm going to squeeze him in.
Okay.
All right, we have on the line with us today Juan, and Juan is calling from Georgia, and he is calling for prayer for his sister's marriage and his finances and his calling. Juan, welcome to the Paul Price Show.
Hi, Dr. Price. How you doing?
I am fine, Juan. How are you?
I'm doing great.
So, Juan, are you a teacher? Do you teach?
Not really. Not yet.
But what kind of training do you do?
I don't do anything right now. I was going through college, and I had a contract with the Marine Corps. I was going to go active duty, and my whole life turned upside down, and I got born again and filled with the Holy Ghost. And God called me, and I'm in a tough spot, so I'm still trying to learn what to do. All I know is the love of God, and so, you know,
well,
I'm still learning.
Well, let me ask you this. What were you going to college for?
What did I study? Is that what you're asking?
Yes.
Kinesiology.
Who is it?
Kinesiology.
Oh, okay. I got it. And you were going to do that, and was that going to be your profession?
No, I was going to go, my plan was to become an officer in the Marine Corps.
Right.
And so, one of the prerequisites was a bachelor's degree.
Okay, so now let me ask you this. Are you still in the Marines, or are you done?
No, I'm done with that. That's one of the reasons why I'm calling for prayer.
You're calling for prayer because you want to know if you're finished with the Marines or if you want to find out what God is going to do.
Well, what was it, back in July or August, God told me I wasn't going to go to the Marine Corps. And I've been waiting for over a year for my paperwork to go through, but it's been a mess. And now that they're saying that I falsified documents and that I've had a history of seizures, and I've never had a seizure in my life. And so now they're trying to throw my entire scholarship as a debt on top of me and make me pay for it and not let me go into the Marine Corps, which was my original plan until God called me.
Okay. So you've never had a seizure. You want to go into the Marine Corps, and they're giving you a difficult time. Is that what's happening?
They are giving me a difficult time. I don't want to go in the Marine Corps anymore. I want to do what God wants me to do.
Okay. And God told you he didn't want you in the Marines?
Right.
Okay, I'm trying to get it, Juan, because I only have a few minutes, and I don't want to pray the wrong prayer. You know, I want to pray the right prayer. Otherwise, y'all
right.
Be calling all kinds of stuff in your life, and you seem like you already got enough. So we don't need to add any more. So what you want me to pray for is that God reveals his will to you, which is for you to finish school, and right. then to lead you where you have to go. Now, I'm telling you, God wants you to do, you're, wherever you end up, you're going to end up as an instructor in some capacity. I see it. It's all over you. You have an amazing anointing for that. You also have a great speaking voice for a whole lot of other things. But God wants you to know that you are called into that ministry of teacher, and that is what he wants you to develop. So when you get a chance to go to school for that, do that. Now, here's what I've learned. Thank God for the Internet, because on the Internet, you can take a whole lot of courses. You don't have to worry about money right now. Come on here now. Let's get real. So while we got this kind of open thing, let's take advantage of it. So don't think that just because you can't do it the traditional way, it's got to be undone. So you right, need to go ahead and finish that. Now, I'm going to pray because I'm running out of time. I only got 5 minutes, and I don't want to blow you off when I, you know, and end up not praying. You go online. You can take a lot of those courses, et cetera. Now, Juan, are you working?
Yes, I am.
Okay. So you're working, and you do you like where you work?
I want a better job. I'm not getting
okay.
paid enough.
Yeah, I'm saying that. Okay, so now I'm going to pray because this is important, but I want to make sure I'm praying the right thing on my life. Juan, you have a lot of situations that things that go back a long time. I'm looking 8 years ago. A lot of the stuff that you're facing, it goes back to something that you did or something that came into your life 8 years ago, and you need to ask God what that is. You've got, I'm looking at all of these little tentacles around your feet, around your ground, and they're coming up. And it's like all this stuff has to be resolved. So whatever it is that you lived 8 years ago, I want you to go back to that, and I want you to finish and let God finish showing you what it is. I'm praying for the Lord to have grace and mercy on you, that he would release you from this, but that what he can cause you to resolve will be resolved. But whatever it is, go back 8 years in your life, because that's how you're going to find out what happened to you.
Amen. Okay.
Amen. 8 years, remember I said it, because I'm looking at it, and this is old stuff. And so sometimes when you come into Christ, God will make stuff come up so that you can clear your deck with Satan and move into Christ.
Amen.
Amen. Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for Juan. Thank you for his life. God, I thank you that he's your brand-new son. Lead him in the way that you want him to go. Take charge of his life, Father, in the name of Jesus. God, give him the peace he needs. Give him clarity. Open up the way for your will to be done. Lord, let your perfect will be done in this man's life. And let it start today in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thank you, Dr. Price.
Keep me posted, Juan. I want to know.
Okay.
God bless.
God bless you, too.
Mm-hmm. Well, Prophet.
You did
I
it.
I think we come. I did it. We're coming to the end of the line. We had a lot going on today. I mean, look at that. We had quite a few callers. You know, I got a chance to bless the saints. And to go forward in God. So there's a lot going on. Ashley, I enjoy doing this. We're going to be back here next Thursday. To everybody there, don't forget, go back to my site at blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show. Listen to the day again. If I gave you a word, you want to go in there and listen to your word again. And when you're done, also go to my website, drpaulaprice.com, and click that class. Go to take some classes. We are putting up new classes every week now, so you can go and get that flash training, quick training that you want online. Don't forget to do that. Well, Ashley, I've done my part. It's on you, girl. I'm done. God bless everyone. Talk to you next time. Hi, this is Dr. Paula Price thanking you for joining me on this week's show. I want to remind you that the counsel and wisdom, the prayer and prophecy that you enjoy today does not have to end with today's program. You can go to blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show and join tens of thousands of people who re-listen to my program every week. Again, blogtalkradio.com/Paula Price Show, and you can relive the experience every single day. God bless you.
Support the Paula Price Show today For as little as $15 per month, you can help us expand our reach across the globe, ministering to hundreds of listeners weekly. Show your support today by visiting www.drpaulaprice.com and clicking the support button. Make a one-time seed or sign up for a monthly subscription. That's www.drpaulaprice.com. Click support and enjoy Dr. Paula Price in your living room.